Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it is time to look at what's coming up on our screens, large and small, over the next week. Journalist and author Aoife Barry and movies editor with the RTE Guide, Michael Doherty, are here with the lowdown for us. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Cheers.
Now, last night, for purely professional reasons, I dressed myself up in pink and took myself off to see Barbie. And it was so interesting. Little kids doing standing up, doing a round of applause, a standing ovation at the end. But you were much, much more loved you than I, the pair of you. You've both seen Oppenheimer, as have I indeed this week. That's the new Christopher Nolan opus that has just opened in cinemas. Aoife, you've seen it twice.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Just by a force of circumstance, but it was great. I did need to see it twice because there was a lot I didn't know, like a lot of people listening. I'm sure they hopefully really enjoyed your previous guest there. You gave a lot of info on Oppenheimer. I really, really enjoyed this. I think it gave me more the second time I watched it because I think people, it's good for people to be aware of this. Like, it's the story of J. Robert Oppenheimer, as you just covered there, you know, the father of the atomic bomb, tells his story from his student days right up to like near the end of his life, really, how he kind of went from this hero in the eyes of the US to basically being punished for his left-wing views. It's an intense movie. You know, it's 3 hours long. It's Christopher Nolan. You think blockbuster when you think Christopher Nolan, films like The Dark Knight, films like his last film, Tenet. But you also think cerebral blockbuster. You know, there's things I'm going to be thinking about here. And you are left with a lot to kind of chew over, the idea of somebody who is super intelligent, you know, articulate, a deep thinker, created something that literally changed the world and had really desperate impacts and really dangerous impacts
and
on people.
Cillian Murphy being tipped for the Oscars next
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. He's a shoe-in for an Oscar nomination. I mean, if not, and at the actual Oscar itself, he's magnetic in this role. He looks really like Oppenheimer, which is the key. But also he plays this guy who's full of all of these layers. You know, he's so intelligent. He's like a womanizer. He's someone who, you know, has a fierce sense of purpose. But he also does things that you might not agree with too. And I think he, you know, contains all of these emotions in the role really, really well. The sound is incredible in this as well. It's so loud and beautiful sounding. Looks fantastic as well, as all Nolan's films tend to do. It's a real epic. And, it, you know, I would definitely say go see this before you go to see Barbie, because it's the heavy one and the light one afterwards.
That's the sequence I chose.
Yeah, you're dead right.
I don't know if it's a verb, Barbenheimer.
Barbenheimer, it is now.
Yeah. Michael, I did wonder as I watched it, Christopher Nolan wrote brilliantly for the male characters in this. When you look at Robert Downey Jr., look at Matt Damon, and of course, Cillian Murphy. It was really interesting. I read that when they got the script, everything was written in the first person voice for Cillian Murphy. But I did think it was a bit light on the female characters. It was the one thing that disappointed.
That's to me, actually. I agree with you there. I mean, a bit light is being very kind. I mean, at least Emily Blunt, she managed to squeeze a very strong performance out of what she had. She didn't have much to work with. She plays Kitty Oppenheimer, his wife, and a very, very strong...
Crazy woman, tick.
Yeah.
Alcoholic,
yeah.
Tick. That's what it just felt.
Well, in fairness, I mean, if you look at actually, I read about the life of Kitty Oppenheimer, that wasn't too far from what the woman was in real life. The problem really, that the bigger problem is the Florence Pugh character, which was his mistress's girlfriend, which is so one-dimensional. It's actually, it's wafer thin. And it does detract, but I don't want it to detract from what is a superb piece of cinema.
It was the only thing just kind of coming out.
It was
right?
The only thing, but there's
yeah,
so much.
Really,
I mean,
this is
a three-hour piece of wonderful cinema. That's the thing about Nolan, as you were saying earlier, Aoife. He makes these movies. People are going, I can't wait to see it, as if it's like Mission Impossible. This isn't actually a blockbuster. It's about guys in suits sitting around talking about quantum physics, or guys in suits sitting around talking about communism and the Red Menace. But yet he makes it exciting through the power of his filmmaking. And what I love about Nolan especially is that he loves cinema. He's not interested in CGI. No. He doesn't want people in capes. He wants to tell stories, and he wants to use sort of constructive and in-camera tricks to tell that story. And the sound design, I think, the reason why I gave this movie 5 stars, which is the first 5-star movie I've given, first time I've given a movie 5 stars in some years, what pushed it over was the sound design. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it comes to the Los Alamos, the Trinity explosion, and then the explosion itself, I mean, you have to hang on to your fillings.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary
movie. It is remarkable.
People did sort of go out of it, look at it a little bit shaken after it. We spoke about Barbie intensively over the last couple of weeks, and last week with Donald Clark and Zara Hederman. And as we say, there's this been this sort of really strange cross promotion. If you're going into the cinema and you're seeing everybody flanked in pink and all just, you know, and getting their pictures taken in the Barbie box, and then Oppenheimer. Did you get to see
So I think that the idea with like having Barbenheimer, right, is that it creates this event for cinema. And it was so lovely just kind of going into the cinema and seeing like 90% of the people there all dressed up. I was there in my outfit with that jumpsuit with loads of roller skates on it, you know, like really wanted. I wasn't even a Barbie girl really when I was a kid. But yeah. I think it's that idea of trying to get people back into the cinema in a way that everybody's gathering together with this one purpose of just going to enjoy themselves. Even if that means going to see a three hour long film about the atomic bomb and then going to see a film about Barbie, it shows, you know, cinema contains multitudes, you know. And I think it's been so nice. I mean, just to see that, to see how people are getting into, to see women, young women going to the cinema in their droves, to the point where the guy sitting next to me said, what about the men at one point?
It was all the mommies. It was all the mommies dressed up in their pink and channeling it. I don't think, Michael, you could have, last year or even beforehand been thinking, okay, here's a thing. Iconic Doll meets an atomic bomb. Like, I mean, Barbenheimer should not have.
And the great thing is, it's really cinema is the winner here because I mean, the box office has been down for many, many years, and cinema really needed this. Yeah. I mean, it was Tom Cruise who single-handedly has actually put the box office up in the last couple of years. But now we have a situation where people are actually getting excited. Like I say, people in pink tutus are getting excited about quantum physics. That's not something we've ever heard.
Great.
Now, I think it's a shame that, you know, all those who grew up with Cindy, I know my sister, the Cindy doll, I think poor old Cindy has got a very raw deal.
She might get her day, maybe.
But she might, maybe she'll get her day.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pushback from the Cindy community. Aoife, I absolutely hate horrors. I'm absolutely terrible. I'm just hiding behind the sofa. But you have an Australian horror. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I would be the same as yourself. I'm really, really squeamish. I would have really avoided horrors for most of my life. And then maybe about 5 years ago, I was like, do you know what? No, I'm just going to have to embrace get over myself. And I watch a load of the classic horrors. I'm still not up on every single one that was out there. But I really do enjoy when that is a good few jump scares and that isn't too gory. And this looks like it'll be one for people who are fans of a film like Hereditary, for example, which came out a few years ago, which is great. This is from two brothers, Danny and Michael Philippou. They're actually have a YouTube channel. This is their first feature film, and A24, a really cool production company, came on board for this. It's about a group of teenagers who find a hand, a possessed ceramic like arm and hand, and they can use it to channel the supernatural, right? So far, so horror movie. And of course, being young people, they keep doing it over and over again to get the thrill, but it kind of tips over the edge and one of them gets a little bit possessed. So it's got
a variation on the Ouija board or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that sort of thing, like Candyman, those sort of ideas, those kind of classic horror tropes. But the interesting thing about this, I think, is it really brings in the social media and the smartphone aspect. So it takes it into the 21st century, where what would you do if you're a teenager now? You would take out your phone and film your friend being possessed,
well,
you know? So
that
we see where it goes with that.
Then. Reassure me, Aoife. But
you will be going to do that yourself.
speaking of mashups, a Belfast director takes on Alfred Hitchcock. What's that all about?
Yes, excellent. And we were talking earlier on about Barbenheimer. To me, it should be Barb Hitchenheimer. Remember, the three movies open up on the 21st. Yeah, and one of them was Mark Cousins, who was a tremendous writer, documentary maker. He's an essayist and he's a cinephile. Mm. And he was approached just before lockdown to come up with a documentary about Hitchcock. And even he was saying, well, we've seen everything. Everything's been said. Everything's been written. Everything's been shown before. Mm. So how can I do something different? So he sat back and said, okay, typical Mark Cousins. He goes, right, I'll watch all 53 of Hitchcock's films, which he did back to back, and said, now how am I going to find, what conceit will I use? And the conceit he used was a conversation between Mark Cousins and Hitchcock, but the voices are provided by Alistair McGowan, the impressionist. But it's just you swear you're listening to Hitchcock.
Wow.
But it's all, I mean, it takes a very brave director, and also you need to be a proper cinephile for the audience to accept that it's okay for Hitchcock to be discussing in 2023. So he goes through it takes under six themes, including time and desire and fulfillment. And it's a fascinating piece, not just for fans of Hitchcock, our fans of Mark Cousins, but also just fans of movie making. And it's his own take, and it's all the better for it. Remarkable, remarkable film.
Amazing where these ideas come from. Aoife, we just looking at TV, we've had Million Dollar Baby on the big screen starring Hilary Swank. What on earth is Million Dollar Pigeons?
Well, as the name suggests, it is about pigeons that can actually cost $1 million or can actually win you $1 million. It's a film from Gavin Fitzgerald. It's a documentary, actually. It came out last year. It's going to be on RTE One. I think it's Tuesday this week, perhaps, that's going to be on. Basically, in this film, he looks at the world of pigeon fanciers across the world. So he goes to the US, Thailand, China, South Africa, and also he speaks to an Irish person as well, Irish pigeon fanciers, and they're people who spend a lot of money on fancy pigeons and get them to race around, and they can win a lot of money, but they have to go now to these big competitions globally because there's a lot more money in pigeon fancying than there used to be. So this
it's
film basically follows
world.
Them so interesting. Yeah. I had a taxi driver once who was telling me all about the pigeon fancying that he does, and I was just rapt listening to him. So if you're into that sort of thing, I mean, I don't know, I mean, maybe you might be not into the idea of pigeons being raced, of course, but if this sounds like something that you're interested in, then I think it's a very intriguing documentary.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it's out, Million Dollar Pigeons. It's out tomorrow night at 9:35 on RTE 1. Before I let you go, The Girl from Plainville, it's Channel 4. Michael, what's that all about?
Yeah, this is a remarkable case. You might remember, and it was all in papers about 10 years ago, about the 17-year-old girl whose boyfriend had suicidal tendencies.
Oh, yes.
And she incited him to take his own life, and he did. And it's sort of, it's look, wondering, how could anyone do this? What was her story? What was his story? Her name is Michelle Carter. She's played by Elle Fanning. It's a very, very strong role. And it's the first time they've ever actually asked, can you be sent to prison for inciting somebody to involuntary manslaughter? And that's the story. And we know what happened, but I don't want, in case you don't know, I don't want to give anything away. But it's a character study, and you're wondering, what would it take for a 17-year-old girl to do that to an 18-year-old boy who she loves, or supposedly loves, and who loves her. And it's a remarkable character study, and a very, very strong performance.
And it's out on Channel 4. And I'm afraid that is all we have time for. Journalist and author Aoife Barry and Michael Doherty, RTE Guide Movies Editor, thank you both very, very much.